877-8-MY-TAKE. That's how to reach us. We have our own antidote to economic panic, though, don't we, Adora?
Yes, we do. What is it, John?
David Leonhardt.
Oh, absolutely. What was I thinking? Of course. And David, our pal at the New York Times, who's a columnist, he argues that on some level, it might be true that many voters see the bailout plan or rescue plan on Capitol Hill as an undeserved plan for greedy bankers. But David, you argue there's a much bigger picture here to consider, right?
That's right. I'm here to instill some fear.
You say there's good reason for public skepticism of the plan, but there's also an economic reality that exists. Explain.
I think there is good reason for the public skepticism. I mean, in some ways, there are two really good ones. So the first is the one that you just mentioned, which is Wall Street doesn't deserve any kind of bailout whatsoever. The second is that I think Henry Paulson and Ben Bernanke have done a lot of things well over the last few weeks. But one thing they haven't done well at all, I think, is explain what we're worried about here. I don't think they've explained to people what exactly it is in clear enough terms that a credit crisis can do. And instead, I think they've sort of made this leap from, we need to do this because if we don't, a credit crisis would be bad. You couldn't get loans and the economy would go in the tank. And I think that's skipping some steps to help us understand it. And so what I tried to do this morning, what I actually tried to do for the last week was do some reporting to help myself understand what those steps are, and then I tried to write about that this morning.
Okay, so give us the first step you think that they've missed.
Well, in some ways, I think the first step is historical. I mean, you hear the Great Depression thrown around a lot, and it's a little bit off as a comparison because I don't think any downturn, even a terrible one, would look like the Great Depression this time. But the mechanics for how this is likely to work, I think, could look somewhat similar to the Great Depression. And basically, it comes back to this notion of trust. When Ben Bernanke was an academic at Princeton, he did some really influential research showing the role that trust played in the Great Depression. And as local banks went out of business, there were no bankers who then knew the borrowers. So bankers were much, much more conservative, and essentially lending dried up. The way that's happening this time is that the number of surprises we've had over the last now close to 14 months mm-hmm. have essentially left bankers feeling like they don't really know who their customers are. And so without trust, they have become unwilling to lend. And most people haven't yet felt that because most people don't take out a new mortgage and most businesses don't take out some huge new capital investing loan every month. But people are starting to feel it. And what we know from the history of credit crises is that when an economy doesn't have credit, when people mm-hmm. can't get loans, the consequences are really bad. And so what that means is that this really isn't about Wall Street. And we should design a package that's as tough on Wall Street as possible while still being effective. And Paulson's initial package wasn't nearly tough enough.
But doesn't that logic also apply to the lawmakers, the Bush administration, as well as lawmakers who are devising this plan? We've heard a lot of people talk about a credibility gap.
Absolutely. I mean, John Stewart had this segment on earlier this week in which he put back to back President Bush's 2003 speech on Iraq and his speech last week. And I don't think there's any question that given the incredibly low approval ratings of both Congress and the White House right now, that's playing a role in this. There's no question about that. But that doesn't change the fact that the risks we've got here are really quite serious. It's possible that this would all go away on its own. It certainly is. But most of the people who I've talked to, and I myself am convinced that the consequences of a bad downturn caused by a credit crisis are so bad, and the risks of them are now high enough that it would be better to err on the side of unlocking the credit markets than it would be to hope that this all sorts itself out. Because, I mean, over the last week, it doesn't seem to be any closer to sorting itself out, right? We've got banks in Europe failing. We've got Wachovia.
Well, you know, you remind me of the history that even though the Depression was over when World War II started, this persistent mistrust of the banks and doing everything on a cash basis in America went on for decades and decades and really set the tone for slow growth for a long, long time, even after the Depression was over.
That's right. And that just gives you a sense of how important credit is. I mean, if we just think about our lives, we like to give debt a bad name, and this is a particularly good time to look at the ways in which debt can go too far. But just think about what it would be like to try to live life without debt. I mean, only the very richest people could send their kids to college or probably even get a car loan. I mean, most Americans don't have $30,000 sitting around. And so when that kind of trust collapses, there are acute consequences, and then there are the longer-term ones, like you say. I mean, if people feel like they can't trust where they have their retirement money or they can't trust their neighbors, you do get less trust, you do get less long-term planning, and you do get slower economic growth.
So where is that line, David, of holding Wall Street accountable as well as helping to support it and steady the markets, as well as helping consumers deal with a problem that you say we haven't fully potentially experienced?
Yeah, that's a really tough question, because the honest answer is we don't know, right? Every time Congress came up with an idea for making the package tougher, Secretary Paulson's response was some version of that's going to drive away participants, and what we need to do now is get as many banks participating in this program so their balance sheets are cleaned up and they're willing to lend again. And the problem with that response is, you know, if you take that far enough, what you're then doing is just giving the bank $700 billion, and no one's suggesting that. So it seems to me that what you want to do is design a program that really tries to minimize the long-term cost to us, the taxpayers and the government. And the way you do that is, in exchange for taking some of these bad loans off their books, you insist on some kind of compensation that protects you on the downside. There are a number of ways to do this. One is to take a stake in the firms, but basically make sure that if you overpay, you get some portion of the benefits.
David Leonhardt, we're always happy to hear from you.
It's great to be on.
David Leonhardt, a New York Times columnist, talking about the economy.